101, Saving the Truth, Tory Lowe Show. We got guests. Thank you for joining me for the second hour. We got Montre in studio. He was trying to do something last time. What, Friday? You tried to call in. Get his mic on, Andrew. Friday, you got a program, and I like the program. You got a program for kids to learn.
Yes.
Once you pull the trigger, this is the pain you cause.
Yes.
Or think about before you get out here and do something that can cause pain. You got a whole program, and you left me some of the pamphlets. That was powerful.
Yes.
That was powerful. And so I wanted you to come in because we got to have something.
Yes.
When it comes to gun violence. We got to have something when it comes to these kids.
The program isn't only for kids. It's right. For adults and juveniles.
Well, you're right. Adults do be acting wild, too. Yeah.
And the reason we had to do that is because you heal a child and send it into a sick home. So it's just like you do all of this work to change their thinking, and then you have somebody to come back and deprogram responsible thinking to irrational thinking.
Right. I agree.
Yes.
Well, I saw some of the stuff on the news, and I wanted to bring you in because you have a family member that lost his life to violence.
Yes, a brother.
I seen you on the news several times talking about that. What triggered you to come up with this from that?
Okay, Tory, as you may know, I myself was a product of the streets. I've served over 25 years of incarceration. And at some point I met a social worker by the name of Guillermo Goins. And he said, Monty, you can be a part of the problem or part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And for some reason that stuck with me. And so coming home 16 years ago, I said, I'm going to be a part of the solution. I'm tired of being a part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I still remember those street codes, eye for an eye, whole court in the streets, real niggas don't snitch and different stuff like that.
Right.
My brother was also a product of that system, and he died by that system.
Okay.
Him and a guy had an altercation. He shot my brother, and years later, he come back and he finished the job.
Wow.
Shot him 15 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's crazy because my brother had just got out of incarceration, and he helped me put together a conference called Man Healing Man. And he was going for domestic violence training to become a facilitator. This is a guy that lived by the street codes.
Mm-hmm.
And so to see him ready to change his life, you know, it really hurts because who knows the lives he could have changed if he was here.
When you have a situation where someone in your family as close as a brother loses their life to homicide in the city, many times we go through the channels. What can be done? Who do we need to call?
Well, in this case, Tory, you had several guys that's street call me, and we're going to take care of this. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Nope. Because you addressing that is going to end up being you in a 6x8 cell away from your children who are going to have to live without a father. There's no trophies. There's no award. There's nothing for it. You go seek revenge, and guess what?
Right.
The outcome is you sacrificing yourself to a life of pain, and you leaving behind others to a life of pain.
You got an attorney working with you on this situation.
Yes.
President of MKE Crime Stoppers, Michael Hupe.
Yeah, Michael Hupe.
Michael Hupe is on the lines right now. How you doing, Michael Hupe?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well.
Hey, thank you for coming on the show today. President of MKE Crime Stoppers as well. I appreciate you for the work that you're doing and putting out rewards for people to give information to try to solve a lot of these crimes.
Yes, I have. I've paid a $25,000 and a $50,000 reward already to solve the murders of two children.
Mm-hmm.
I now have $200,000 in rewards pending, including Mundy's brother. And we hope that we make a difference. You know, in the country last year, the large cities had a 21% drop in homicides. Milwaukee had an increase in homicides. So we all need to work together and solve the problem.
Well, I'll say this. Every little bit count. Many times when we talk about dealing with the violence in the community, we've many times got to run up against the no snitching or community members are afraid to come forward due to the violence that took place. They probably don't or probably have fear that they may be next. But due to the efforts of Crime Stoppers and people that are out here encouraging others to come forward and give information, I think that this is one of the vehicles that overall is helping fight against what we're seeing as tragic crime.
And another advantage of Crime Stoppers is you are totally anonymous from the time you give the tip till the time you get your reward. No one ever knows who you are. The person who commits the crime goes to jail, possibly, and you get a reward. So there's no downside.
For arrest and conviction?
No, just an arrest.
Oh, so for the arrest. Okay, that's what's
yes.
up. So
yes.
how did you get
yes.
involved with Monty?
Monty.
I have been involved with Monty for 16 years through my law firm, Hupi and Abraham. We have an event where he gives away, through Voice of the Fatherless Child, Christmas presents to families. And we go to Home Depot with Monty, and we buy presents and distribute them.
You know what I like about what Monty is doing? He, last time he was on the show, he had a play about Kia Boys.
Yes.
And he was trying to reach the youth. Now he's back with another program to reach youth, adults, a 10-week program to try to just give people some kind of wisdom and understanding about this gun violence and the effects that it have on the people.
Very good idea.
I thought that was a powerful idea.
I look at it from the perspective of the cause and effect. Your actions causes someone else to how they act, how they experience pain, how they experience grief, never taken into account from your perspective. Like I told you, Tori, there's three questions. It's actually four, but I saved the fourth question for the guys that come to the sessions. Mm-hmm. And the three questions, the first one is, what is your expiration date on revenge, vengeance, or get back? Meaning, when do you stop seeking that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one is, if you're changing, if they're changing their life, do you still have to get your revenge, your get back,
right.
your vengeance? And the third one is, if you were changing, would you want grace or death? Would you want them to get their get back, or would you want them to give you a pass of grace?
Hey, that's something to think about when you're young, to get it, those seeds planted. Because many times when I see adults acting a certain way, they've been told, you know, many times. But these young people, they say get them while they're young so those seeds can grow and flourish.
So you have what's called social conditioning. So our social conditioning, our background is a little boy that's raised on 14th and Keith with other boys and predominantly gang environment. And they pick up these gang rules and protocols and laws that they live by and they die by. But you get them so very young and they're imputed into you and you raised to believe, hey, this is the only way. There's no other way. When there's all kind of options. For example, you have Tom, who lives in Glendale. You have Junebug, who lives on 24th and Center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you rob Junebug on 24th and Center, Junebug doesn't call the police. He has to get his get back. So he goes out. He acts violent. He takes out the person that robbed him. He ends up going to jail. He lose two ways. He lose for being robbed, and he lose because he's in jail now. So who father his children?
Mm.
Who loves his wife in his absence?
Right.
Who drives his car? Who lives in his home? Do you kind of catch what I'm mm-hmm. saying? But Tom, that lives in Glendale, he calls the police. He goes home. He's still with his family. He's still with his wife. He get to raise his kids. He go to work the next day.
Right.
He eats what he wants. He enjoyed life. The difference is Junebug is a snitch and Tom is a responsible person.
Right.
Because we have this mindset that if you go to the police, you're a snitch.
Living in these gangster fantasies. what did Coolio say? They spending most of my life living in the gangster's paradise.
Yes.
He tried to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, and Michael Hupe is on the lines. I want to get his final thoughts before we run the break. What do you want to say to those that are listening out here when it comes to the violence in the community and what where we should be right now as far as going into 2026?
The name of our organization is Crime Stoppers. The first thing I want to do is stop crime, convince people that might commit a murder or other crime not to do it. The second thing we do if we fail at our first attempt is we pay people to help us solve crimes anonymously. And I would ask everybody to take what I said very seriously. We have Crime Stoppers organizations all over the country, and we need to work with Milwaukee because we're falling behind.
Hey, look, when we come back, I want to get another conversation going. I want to know more about this program. And when we come back, I think we got more guests that's going to be joining
us.
People that are part of the program as well.
Yes, they are.
Hey, look, when we come back, we'll have more conversation, Truth Nation. Stay locked in. 101.7 The Truth, Tory Lowe Show. Look, we got a great program that is available for the youth, for the people in the community. I Will Not Die to Gun Violence, the LaTroy Harris Initiative.
And we're really making sure that we know it's the LaTroy Harris Initiative, because we also have an agency, Muhib,
okay,
that I Will Not Die Young.
And, right.
Yeah. And me and him
I Will Not Die Young campaign. Yeah.
Yeah. And me and him are going to meet later on because we're trying to figure out how to collaborate this.
Okay. That's what's up. Collaboration is powerful as well.
Yes.
I just want to know, how is this working? Who is the desired audience for this?
So the desired audience is any and everyone that chooses to possess or use a gun illegally. Our goal isn't for people to give up their Second Amendment right to bear arms. However, we don't want them to bear them illegally. We don't want them to give up any rights. However, we want those that possess firearms that could potentially use them and harm someone that mm-hmm. illegally, we are against that. We don't promote that. And we're looking for referrals from the court, the police, parole and probation, juvenile system, alternative schools, and parents. So we're willing to take on anyone. We're not going to discriminate against anyone. We're going to try to reach them.
That's what's up. And we got Phyllis Reed from the new Golden Gate Funeral Home in studio. How you doing, Phyllis?
I'm fine.
Now, how are you a part of this program?
Well, first of all, Monty and I go way back a long time. When he came to us, he came to us on a personal note and asked us how we got on. It was because, first of all, his brother passed. So he came into us and trusted us to handle his brother's service, which we gladly did. After which, after the service, he brought to us his whole initiative plan and brought to us. And, of course, we happy to join board with them. We said yes when he told us about it, what we would do as part of this initiative. So we basically just jumped on, and we're here now to try to figure out what we need to do to help move forward the situation.
And so there's a component where I see that kids get to see what it's like for families to go through this type of situation through the funeral aspect. And you provide the casket, I'm sure.
Yes.
The whole funeral experience.
Yeah. Why is that important?
A lot of times some families have not had a chance to really experience a funeral. Even to see another loved one doing regular death process. Nevertheless, to see it as an act of violence. And that's happening a lot now in the city. So when he asked us, and we've worked on him with the many initiatives on many other programs and other levels before, providing him caskets and doing a mock services for him, it just gives people a chance to actually see and probably, you know, what actually entails the whole process, right. The grieving process, how it affects families, how it affects, you know, other people coming to see these type of things. Like I said, some people may never even experience it at a young age going to a funeral. Nowadays, you have more younger people that are dying and more younger people are at these services now.
Right.
So they need to see what's happening and to see the effects of the people that are there because of someone dying tragically, someone dying at a young age. So it all brings things together and give them a chance to actually see what's going on.
So when do these classes start? How can people be a part of it?
So what we're doing now is we're trying to get all of the resources together, the funding together, and the referrals together. My hope is March 1st. I don't want to set on it and it just becomes one of those initiatives that fade away. And to add to what Phyllis was saying, the grieving process, the planning of the funeral, seeing that loved one. So what we do is we create a case for every individual. So they might be the victim. They might be the victimizer. So we want them to see it from two different perspectives. The pain that you cause as a victimizer, the pain that you experience as a loved one, because the only person that hurts are the people that's left behind. The person that's gone, they're gone.
Right.
But the people that left behind are the people that have to live with the grief and the pain in the incarceration.
And many times a lot of people don't realize what they have done until they pull the trigger. Like, you know, they get emotionally impulsive. They get the high blood pressure. But once you take that aim and shoot, your life changes forever.
Yes.
Your life will never be the same after that. And the family's life, the people that you affect.
Yeah, because you're in that bullpen talking about, damn, why did I do this?
Right.
you're in that cup.
You'll never be the same again.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever went through that process and stayed or continued to be the person they were before they pulled the trigger.
Yes. And so even with the guy, Antonio Brown, who killed my brother, they're still looking for him.
Right.
And I have no ill heart towards him and the family and individuals that stand behind me. We came to a understanding that we're not seeking revenge. We're just seeking justice. And the reason being because this cycle has to stop somewhere. Someone has to see someone strong enough to say, hey, we want to see change.
Right.
Yeah.
And through teaching and education. Now, where are these events are going to be held?
Well,
is there a location or y'all working on it?
We have locations. But we're looking for a stable location.
Okay.
So we've been in the 310 building. We've been in 4900 West Fongelac.
Okay.
We've been in a number of locations.
So it's going on right now?
Well, I've started with working. See, I do domestic violence facilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys are guys that carry guns and had guns in their domestic relationships. So it gave me a chance to test the curriculum that I wrote to see how it would affect them. And if I could have brung one of them today, you'd be amazed.
Right. But we're going, like I said, we're going to keep following this program throughout the year because why? we got to make sure that we are letting people know that there are ideas out here that can help. You know, yes. Many times when we talk about what is available, it's always like, okay, like you said, a lot of these initiatives kind of, they come up and then nobody knows what took place. Is there a website that people can go to?
We haven't created a website yet. We're in the process. We're in the process of the website. We're in process of promotion where you can go and you can find access to us. However, you can simply go on Facebook and find me, and we can get you in. We can get you started.
Well, how do they follow you on Facebook then if they want to keep up with you?
It's called Voice, V-O-I-C-E, of Many. Of Many is one word, O-F-M-A-N-E, I mean N-Y. So Voice of Many. Or either they can simply call the office at 414-306-2107.
And Phyllis, I appreciate you for coming in. What do you want to say to those that are listening right now when it comes to 2026 and where we should be when it comes to gun violence?
It's a lot to be said about that, because it not only affects, like you said, the person that they kill, but it also affects the families itself. And it puts a lot of strain on the families, too, when it comes to that, even come financially. I just hope that with the program that Monty's putting together, along with us helping him with this initiative to get it going, that it just families start really sitting back and thinking about the cause and effect of their actions. Because there's always a cause and effect. Because even when it comes to the families, both families are going to be hurt because they're going to lose their loved one to incarceration, or even that person who pulled that trigger may have retaliation against them, and then they die to gun violence themselves. Just like the families are there, that they've done these things to, they too are in pain. They lost a loved one. Like I said, they got to deal with things financially. It's just a domino effect, and it touches everyone.
Well, Phyllis, I got to get you back on here because I need to have a whole conversation about people not even being insured.
That's a whole other conversation. And I tell people, tell people when they come to our funeral home, even now, we tell them, they need to come in and sit down with us, discuss their future, discuss about pre-need, pre-planning. It's much better, saves a lot at the end, and it gives them knowledge as well. We're here to help the community. When people come to us, we have different programs we make to help them to get their funeral service paid for, as well as we're here. It doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have. Reed's New Golden Gate has always been for the community. My father has been in the business. He's deceased now. But he was in the business over 40 years in the city of Milwaukee, and he's done a lot for the city, and we're trying to keep the legacy going. And we're here for the community. Like I said, Monty came to us with this. I've been knowing him for a long time. We've helped on other projects. Anybody else who have any type of projects they want and they need help, we're there to help the community as well.
Monty, I'm going to let you get the last words before we get out of here, before we run the break.
Well, what my last words would be, Phyllis didn't tell you all this. It's difficult to hold funerals to victims of gun violence. A lot of funeral homes will not accommodate you. However, after speaking with them, you know, they feel that any family deserve their family to have a home going. And that's one thing that really stuck out for me is the fact that they didn't reject it. They accommodated and then they made it happen. So
made it safe.
Yes.
We made it safe.
Yes, they made it safe most
That's what's
of all.
Up.
We made it safe.
Well, I thank y'all for coming through. We're going to have to keep an eye on this, Monty. We're going to have to keep an eye on the people that are involved, the families, the before and the after.
Okay.
You know, keep us in all of that, in the whole loophole. You know, when you get the website, when you start recruiting, let me know.
Okay.
And also, we got to get you in here, Phyllis, for just some information when it comes to being prepared. No parent should have to bury their child, but that's what's happening. And we got to get prepared for that, too.
And we see more and more of that every day. We definitely do.
All right. Well, thank y'all for stopping through.
Thank you for having us.
Powerful.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in.